Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20 and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
And support for Mouthful on KRCB-FM comes from members and from Wells Fargo Center for the Arts. Presenting the legendary climbers of El Capitan, Santa Rosa native Kevin Jorgensen and Tommy Caldwell, for an evening of stories about their 19-day ascent of El Capitan's Don Wall. Widely considered the hardest climb in the world, Jorgensen and Caldwell's climb captivated a global audience. The pair will appear on Sunday, August 16th, that's tonight, I guess that's next week, at 8 p.m. Information and tickets available at wellsfargocenter.org or 707-546-3600. And here's Michelle.
Actually, I think that's like a couple weeks away. This is only the second. Somebody was thinking, how'd when they wrote that? Hi, it's Michelle Anna Jordan. It is Mouthful. How are you doing this evening? Did you get to, say, the Sebastopol Farmers Market today, where they were honoring the Gravenstein apple? Lots going on. West of West Wine Festival taking place at the Barlow. And that's all before you got out of town in Sebastopol. And Sebastopol will be the place to be next week as well, because it is the sweetest little fair pretty much anywhere, I think. At Regal Ranch Park, it is the Gravenstein Apple Fair. And for once, it seems, and I could possibly be corrected very soon on this, but Gravenstein season and the fair are actually coinciding really well. So I know sometimes it's like, oh God, will there be Gravensteins in time for the fair? Or will the Gravensteins be gone? So I think, are we right on, Carmen?
We're right on.
That is great. Somebody, a friend who has 15 acres of Gravenstein's Dos Reyes Ranch, he brought me a basket full of the very first ones about 10 days, mm-hmm. about 10 days ago. Oh, and they were tart and crunchy. So delicious. And I have to say, I think this is the most people we've ever had in Mouthful. When we were doing a political show, it was the Rural Heritage Initiative of, God, at least probably 10 years ago. We were pretty packed, but I think we have more people tonight. So what I want to do first, and we have lovely food here too, this is great. I just want to do a real quick history of the Gravenstein Fair. It's the 42nd annual, is that right?
It's the 42nd anniversary Gravenstein Apple Fair that Sonoma County Farm Trails has produced. So okay. Back in 1973, Farm Trails revived the Apple Fair as our primary annual fundraiser. Uh-huh. And it used to be called, back in the early 1900s, it was the Sebastopol Apple Show that celebrated the Gravenstein apples. And they would make huge installations, like, say, of trains out of apples.
Right.
You've seen those pictures, probably.
Right. Where did that take place?
Do we know?
In downtown Sebastopol.
Farm Trails helped actually to create Regal Ranch Park mm-hmm. Back in the early 70s to clear it out, and that's part of how we have that sweetheart deal with them to be able to use that beautiful venue.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And so it takes place on Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 6 birthdays.
Correct.
I believe. Yes. Okay. And it's been, it's gone through some changes in recent years, and it seems to me that it's really gone back to its delightful roots the last few years. And it very, with a lot of focus on local.
Yes, and on the agricultural heritage and farmers, and the we brought back the sheep shearing and the cow milking and added the do-it-yourself arena.
Right. And tell us about that. I don't know so much about the do-it-yourself arena.
So this was started last year, and it's to help revive some of the homesteading crafts. And maybe Rick wants to speak to it. He is going to be presenting at the DIY arena and along with some other folks from Harmony.
Well, the do-it-yourself program is really a series of workshops where people can learn different crafts. One of them is going to be beer making for the folks out there that want to learn how to craft their own beer. Rainwater harvesting, drip irrigation, how to manage your soil nutrients, and a plethora of others.
Drip irrigation, that's the one I need. Mine's been like a third done for many years. Yeah. And then there's the chef's tent, or the cooking demonstration tent, with I think three demonstrations a day. And then there's also this, when did you have a cheese?
So we also have the artisan cheese lounge, which was new last year, and it's a really sweet zone and was very well received. So we brought it back this year, and we have some of the cheese makers and libations producers here in the studio tonight who are going to be part of it.
Yeah, you have an amazing number of cheeses, and we have, I believe, two cheese makers with us. We have Carlene Wyrock and Donna Pacheco. Donna from Ashendina in Petaluma, and Carlene from Wyrock Farm and Creamery, correct? You've been on several times, and I know, Donna, you've been on at least once. There are so many cheeses in the studio right now. I'm going to start with you, Donna, because you're closest to the microphone. Why don't you tell us what you have here today? Tell us a little bit about the farm and what you'll be doing at the festival.
Okay, so we are a farmstead farm. Farmstead in that we milk our animals on the property, and it goes right into the cheese plant. So we have goats and cows. So what we've got is we've got two separate straight goat's milk cheeses, which is a goat's milk feta. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have Capricious, which is aged. This particular wheel is aged close to a year. And then in the middle, we have goat and cow's milk cheeses. I have four different flavored of fresh curds, and then we have an aged goat and cow's milk cheese brancia kind of in the middle of that.
Other than at the Gravenstein Fair next weekend, where do people find your cheeses?
So we do give tours. We are also at a lot of the local farmers markets in Petaluma. We do about 60 farmers markets a week all the way down to San Jose.
How many?
60.
Wow.
That doesn't mean we're very smart, but we do 60 farmers markets
That's
a week.
That's a lot. And you tend to go from Petaluma south.
Correct.
So you're hitting the
we do
the ones in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I've seen you at Bodega Bay.
Yes.
And do you also do Point Reyes?
We don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a certified organic market. Yeah.
Okay, great. And then Carlene, going to get you up here somewhere to a microphone. And
yes. So my husband and I we're best known for our farmstead sheep cheese. And like Donna was saying, you know, when you refer to farmstead, that means that the animals are raised on the farm where you're actually producing the product. We also buy organic cow milk from some Petaluma dairies. Thank gosh, because they really are saving our butts, because, you know, sheep only give us milk half the year.
Yeah.
That's a dilemma.
And they don't give a lot, do they?
They don't give a lot. You know, it's higher butter fat, and so you get a higher yield of cheese. But still, you know, we really couldn't survive without the cow milk producers, so we're really grateful to that. So it's a big part of what we're about, and trying to build those relationships. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, right now I have a fresh sheep cheese called Primo Fresco, and I have an aged sheep and cow blend, and then I have a variety of cow cheeses, different ages today.
There's one here that looks like it's covered in ash. Am I correct?
Actually, look a little closer. It has a little green tint.
Is it nettles? No.
It's Herbe de Provence.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna grab a piece.
Yeah, that's just our tome fraiche, and for our farm markets, we add a little herb to the exterior for some of them. It's a very simple cheese. You know, Colette from Oliver's Market always refers to our tome fraiche as the gateway to the gourmet cheese department. It's one of our most mild cheeses.
It's very mild, but it's very...
summer. Summer cheese.
The thing that I really like about the mild spectrum of artisan cheeses is that you really get a sense of the milk. Mm.
Yes, absolutely. You know? Yeah, you're closer. You feel closer to the milk.
And I love that refreshing. That close to the grass, I love this cheese. I always have. Yeah. So what happens in the artisan cheese lounge?
So in the lounge, what we're going to be doing, I'm going to be pairing my cheeses with this gentleman's amazing beers, and what you're going to do is you're going to have a variety of tastings. What it does, I think more than anything, is it opens up your palate. You understand things that you would never pair together are amazing on the palate, and mm-hmm. It's amazing opportunity.
Yeah, and one of the things, you know, you hear wine and cheese, and have forever with jokes made about it, you know.
Yeah.
But if you pay attention to cheese and beer and cheese and cider, you just have some of the most compatible, beautiful resonances, I think.
Absolutely. On top of the fact that we feed brewer's grain to our goats and our cows, uh-huh. so pairing it with a beer just really heightens it.
Yeah. Now, how does that work? Do you get the grain from breweries?
We do. We work with Bear Republic and Russian River Brewing, and so we pick up their spent grain when they're done brewing with it, and it's slightly fermented by the time we give it back to the cows and the goats, and so they can digest it much easier, and it really does contribute to the flavor, absolutely, to the flavor and also to their diet, their overall diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's bring Seth Wood in now. Seth, you are from Wood 4. And also, we have Colin Piccoli.
Piccolo.
Okay, I can't read my own writing. Specific Piccolo. Thought that was an I. From Specific Gravity Cider. And Specific Gravity Cider is, I'm getting it mixed. There's.
Colin.
Is that Nana Mays?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's okay. Nanomaze.
Yeah.
Okay. Because then there was the, I don't know if it's called a secondary label. There's the Devoto Cider. Mm-hmm. And they're now doing, I don't know if it's a secondary label is the right way to put it, but they're doing another label.
Yeah. Right. Well, Devoto's a different cider company.
Right. Right. I just couldn't remember which one's Specific Cider was. That's a
specific
cider is Nanomaze.
It's kind of in coalition with Nanomaze.
Right.
And we source the apples from Nanomaze Organics, apple farms around the area.
And where's it produced?
It's produced and bottled and all grown here in Sonoma County.
Mm-hmm. Sebastopol?
Yeah, in Sebastopol.
Uh-huh. Cool. And Seth from Wood 4,
yeah.
What are you doing for the fair?
Oh, providing the beer. That's
yeah, but you guys make a number of beers. I'm particularly interested in general in sour beers and specifically in your sour beers. I think they're fabulous. Well, I mean, I think it's the best.
Brought one of them here that we can
excellent.
Drink.
Yeah. Can we taste that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and why don't you talk a little bit about what a sour beer is?
Sure, yeah. Oh, nice.
Always a good sound.
I don't know if you could hear that, but
yes.
Very good.
And so. I think we need to pass glasses over to you.
Yeah, well, I'll pass the beer and you can fill glasses appropriately. So, sour beer, it's quite a departure from what people typically kind of know as of beer. And so, what we do at Wood 4 is we try and kind of create really food friendly beers, but also beers that have a sense of, you know, what winemakers would call terroir. That's kind of a sense of place and a sense of time.
Mm-hmm. What makes the beer sour?
Well, so the beer is made sour by actually all the wild yeast and microbes that ferment the beer.
So it's a function of the process, not a function of an added flavor.
Exactly. Yeah. So this beer, the Sour Farmhouse, when we brew it, typically
love this beer.
Most standard beers, you'd go ahead and you'd add the yeast to it. This one, after we brew it, we just put it in used wine barrels and don't add any yeast, and we just let it naturally ferment with whatever bacteria and yeast is kind of floating around the brewery and in the barrels. And so by doing that, we really are able to kind of impart a sense of like that terroir, that time and that place can't really be reproduced outside or anywhere else. So this sits in barrels for upwards of 2 years.
Really?
So
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a really, you know, I think I've always thought of beer as something that's fairly quick.
Sure. And a lot of it is, you know.
Now, is that because using natural fermentation, that process just takes longer?
It does, absolutely. Yeah. Yep, that's exactly right. You know, some of the bugs and yeast that create the sourness in the beer take a lot longer to kind of come to fruition than your typical brewer's yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
The really nice thing about the sour beer is it's such an incredible food beer.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. And typically, does it have or not have hops?
Generally speaking, very generally, it has hops, but in a very small amount.
Small amount, yeah.
Generally, hops in beer are meant to balance kind of like a sweetness and the maltiness of the beer. This beer is really dry. And there's not a whole lot of maltiness or sweetness. It's really driven by those sort of yeast flavors and also by that sourness. So there is a little bit of hops, but pretty minor.
Yeah, if you're somebody who doesn't care for the big hoppy things that have gotten so popular. I just got something shipped to me for a mouthful saying, Americans love super hoppy beers, you know, triple IPAs. I gave it away. It's like some of us don't. Yeah. And, you know, not getting too geeky about it, but I think it was Germany that required hops go into beer. And hops have several physiological effects. It's a sedative.
Yeah.
It also, from what I've read, inhibits libido.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you sleepy and, you know, not want to have fun.
Oh.
And I heard the Catholic Church was also involved in requiring hops to go into beer. Oh. And I've always found that hops, number one, make me sleepy, they make me bloated, and they're not very food friendly. So I have been thrilled, just absolutely thrilled.
Hops can be pretty aggressive, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah
nice
really
to
aggressive.
Have some balance in the beer.
So. And have that refreshing quality.
Exactly, yeah.
So right on. So will you be serving a sour?
Yeah, so we'll, again, we fully realize that we're sort of here on the West Coast and, you know, sours are still somewhat unknown to a lot of people. So
yeah,
we will bring a sour.
More power
something.
To you.
Yeah,
get
we will
it, the word out there.
We'll bring a couple different beers, but yeah, one of them will be sour for sure.
Yeah, they're really popular on the East Coast, aren't they?
Yeah, and in the Midwest. You know,
oh, really? Okay.
East Coast to Midwest. Yeah. But, you know, they're growing everywhere.
Well, that just means there's a market to be had
exactly,
on the West Coast.
Exactly.
I think they're going to become increasingly popular. You're starting to see them. I know K&L Bistro often has a sour on the menu and starting to see them. Can you buy sours bottled in grocery stores?
Yeah.
You can.
Yep. There's so we're actually going to be doing some bottle releases in August.
Oh, that's great.
From
to
some
know.
Of our sours. We have a strawberry sour that was brewed with some local strawberries and the Sour Farmhouse is going to be coming out in bottle, but you can buy a decent amount. There's, you know, sours have their roots in kind of Belgian brewing,
right?
And so you can find some at you know select places.
Yeah, places like Oliver's.
Locally
on the markets. Okay,
exactly.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Okay, Colin, what specific gravity going to be? Will you be in the artisan cheese tent too?
Well, I'll be there. I'll definitely be there. It's going to be a great time. I'm excited to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But for the cider, I mean, I just wanted to say about the sour beer, that's really good stuff.
Oh.
And I'm a huge fan.
Actually, I'm even going to pass my glass over there. You can fill it up again.
Yeah, please. There's two others here.
Hop-free sounds good to me sometimes with the Gravensteins.
In the Artisan Cheese Lounge, Specific Gravity will be pairing with Colette Hatch from Oliver. She's gonna bring an assortment of cheeses for that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
And then they'll be in the craft cider tent as well.
Okay, there's also a craft cider tent.
Yes.
Oh, how many
Which I just have to say, like, when we started the craft cider tent, I think 3 years ago was the first time that we had craft cider, and we had one cider maker there, and then the next year we had three, and this year we have eight.
Wow.
So it's really booming.
And it's
last year, the cider makers were in with the beer.
And now, yeah, there's a big dedicated craft cider tent.
Oh, great. Yeah, because last year, by the time I got to taste anything, I don't think there were any ciders left for tasting.
We ran out.
Yeah, but I was I did a cooking demo. Well, it was actually 2 years ago. Wasn't there last year? And by the time I finished my demo, it was nearing the end. So that happens. So tell us about the. So you're now having a separate. We'll have a separate cider tent and a separate beer tent.
A beer booth.
A beer booth.
Yes,
okay.
And then we'll have, and it's microbrews from Lagunitas and from Wood 4. Mm-hmm. And then in the craft cider tent, we'll have 8 different cider makers there, and they'll be giving samplings all day. And then we also have cider in the artisan cheese lounge with several pairings, one of which will be the specific gravity.
Now, in the artisan cheese tent, is it a walk around, taste at your own leisure, or is it actual formal sit down?
No, it's formal sit down, curated pairing. So it's this very lovely zone. It's one of the. It's actually the only thing once you're inside the fair that is an additional fee.
Oh, okay.
So it's a ticketed event. You can get the tickets in advance if you like at GAFCheeseLounge.com. And you can also get them at the information booth once you get to the fair. Uh-huh. So, and then the tickets include this lovely tasting with the producers and these cute little glasses, commemorative glasses.
I love the glasses.
Yeah.
They're like the perfect size and shape.
Yeah.
No stem. They're like a small white wine glass, but without a stem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're adorable.
And also a commemorative cheese cooler, because Omar from Freestone Artisan Cheese will be selling everybody's cheeses there. So afterwards, if you like the cheese, you can go, you know,
and
buy
Omar,
it from him and keep
Omar
it
Omar has a Freestone cheese.
Yes.
In, guess where? Freestone.
Yeah.
It's a great little cheese shop. I've been meaning to go out and talk to him. And what's the cost?
The cost is $25 per pairing.
Plus the admission.
Plus the admission to
and
the
what's
fair.
The admission this year? Is it 12?
Well, if you buy tickets in advance, which you can do right now at all Oliver's locations, all Copperfield's locations, and at Harmony Farm Supply, the adult tickets are $12 and the kids are $8. On site, the adults will be $15, the seniors and veterans will be $12, and the kids will be $10.
Okay, great. I'm chewing an apple here. I want to talk. I want to bring you in a little bit more, Colin. Have you talk about the company a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, how long have you been around?
So we've been around for quite a while. We've been here since. Well, I'm a fifth generation farmer in my family on my father's side.
Sebastopol.
In Sebastopol, and also Northern Bay Area, San Francisco as well. Mm-hmm. So Nana May was originally. She's part Maltese. She came. She was here in San Francisco, and she grew up. She was my father's grandmother, and she loved to cook, you know, and when she was alive, she would want to make wholesome, well-cooked meals from home out of wholesome ingredients and not buy by the can or this or that. She liked to be, you know, well-fed and keep the family well-fed in a healthy way. And so that kind of led my dad to, you know, start this Nana May's Organics, which is about wholesome apples, and... it's kind of transformed into this whole new industry with cider from there. Yeah.
And then when did Specific Gravity get started?
So Specific Gravity has just started very recently. Last year, I believe, was the first kind of run-through with the harvest. 2014 Gravenstein Harvest was the first vintage year. Mm-hmm. For our Spanish-style cider that we have here today.
So what you say Spanish, tell us about what Spanish-style means.
So Spanish-style, it's a little more on the dry side.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone through its full fermentation, and then it's been filtered, fine-filtered, and bottled in this bottle you see here. So Spanish-style is more of like a wine-style cider rather than a beer-style cider. And it's 100%.
And is that the one I'm pouring right now?
Yeah, indeed, yeah. So it's 100% organic Gravenstein apples that are sourced locally here in Sebastopol in West Sonoma County.
Mm-hmm. What's the alcohol content?
I believe the alcohol content in this is roughly 7, it's about 6.8.
Okay, so it's about half of your average wine.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a lot lighter. It's more in the beer category as far as alcohol percentage.
Right. It's a great summer drink. Really
great,
really
refreshing.
Really nice summer drink.
Yeah. And it goes very well with Gravenstein apples. So here we go.
It does. It does go.
And of course, local cheese too.
Yes, local cheese. I'm doing a demonstration on Sunday at the market. And the three things that I'm making all will go really nicely. Well, actually, only two will go really nicely. One could actually be incorporated. But I'm doing a sauce that's just Gravenstein, apple juice, Gravenstein apple cider vinegar, pepper, and butter. And you just reduce it down until it's nice and rich, and you swirl the butter, and you get a lot of really good pepper flavor. And then if I'm doing this for a reasonable number of people, not a big crowd, I might grill quail or chicken. And you can even do it with pork loin and baste it, and then you have that as the sauce afterwards. And I often will slice a Gravenstein apple and saute it in butter and serve, say, the quail on top of that. But I'm going to serve it with chicken drumettes, just because that's an easy way to serve a crowd.
Yeah,
the drumette. But then I'm also doing an apple cider vinaigrette, just a really simple apple cider vinaigrette with greens, which is, I find, you have a really friendly wine compatible vinaigrette when you have apple cider. It's not so tart, and it's got a tiny bit of sweetness, but it doesn't have that overpowering sweetness, say, that balsamic vinegar does, that is so popular these days for reasons I can't guess. So I'm doing those, but then I'm also doing a shrub.
What's it? That's new to me. What's a shrub?
I predict shrubs are going to be, they're already starting to get pretty popular. There's a woman in Pengrove, Laura, I'll think of her last name in just, Laura Hager. She's doing Sonoma Aperitif. And she is gleaning fruit from a variety of trees that go unpicked all over Sonoma County. And she's making old French, it was like vin de grand-mère in France in like 700 years ago. So she's making, they come in 375 milliliter bottles. She's doing plum, ruby grapefruit, all different kinds of things. She picks my quince, and she's making a quince. She's doing pear. She's doing all different kinds. And then if I have this right, and forgive me, Laura, if I have it wrong, after the fruit has fermented and she's done, she's been making shrubs with the fruit. She's been making either shrubs or condiments. And basically a shrub is vinegar and fruit. And there's a couple different ways to make it. Sometimes you chop up the fruit, you add sugar, let it macerate for a day, and then add vinegar and let it sit for 2 hours or 2 weeks. Really, techniques vary. Or sometimes you cannot use the sugar. I've been experimenting with both, and I initially added sugar, but to me it was too sweet. It wasn't bad, but it was too sweet. So this summer I started first with blueberries. I did blueberries, strawberries, and then I did apricots with no added sugar at all, but with a longer maceration. So I used a specific kind of vinegar to go with whatever the fruit was. Chopped up the fruit, poured the vinegar on, stirred it, added herbs or spices, depending on what fruit or even vegetable. I did cucumbers. And then let it sit until the natural flavors were brought out. It's just so delicious. You strain it after it's reached the flavor that you wanted. You strain it and then decant it. Or if you have a really fine strainer, you don't need to decant it, but you can let the solid settle and then pour it off again. And then you add it to water, sparkling water, white wine, sparkling wine. And some people do 50-50. I do more like, I fill up a glass, like a wine glass. I would fill up a wine glass, usually with ice, about two-thirds of the way, and top it off with the shrub. And it adds this amazing flavor. And if you're doing it with water or sparkling water, it's a very adult, it's a non-alcoholic adult cocktail. So if somebody's not drinking for whatever reason, it's a really nice thing. If you want it a little sweeter, all you need to do is add a splash of simple syrup. I think fruit shrubs are going to become more and more popular. And there's a woman, I can't think of her name right now. I think she's doing a cooking demo on Saturday. She is she's the fermentation. Yes, she's from Shed. She's the fermentation from Shed, and she's been doing shrub workshops up at Shed. So she maybe she's going to be
she
doing.
She is. It's on is both days, and I was like, "What's shrub?"
So is she doing a shrub?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I'm doing a shrub too. Yeah. I'm doing.
Did you write a book on shrubs? Or were you talking?
I just tossed off the idea. Maybe I'll write a book on shrubs.
Okay.
Haven't yet, but actually I'm considering that somebody else may do it before I do. But they're just so delicious, and they harken back not just to the pioneer period, but back to England as well. And I think if you really research them, they're probably going to go back a lot further, because first of all, you got too much fruit, pour vinegar on it, you're good for quite a long time. And they're so delicious. And they're good for you. Especially apple cider vinegar has some interesting qualities. You can find in certain older books that if you have a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in water every morning, you will have a flat tummy. I haven't known that to be true, but you know, maybe I just haven't had it done it enough. But also, a hula sister and friend of mine is saying that apple cider vinegar is said to help prevent leg cramps. You know those awful leg cramps that make you up in the middle of the night and foot cramps? Apple cider vinegar is supposed to be good for that. So it's just good, you know, vinegar is really good for you. And with shrubs, they taste so good. And I've been using fruit from Dry Creek Peach and Produce. Mm. And that fruit just comes on so fast. And, you know, you get a flat of, say, Arctic Gem white peaches, and you're eating peaches three times a day, and you're still going to lose some. So last time I got a flat, I took about a third of them, and I made Arctic Gem white peach shrub, and I just finished the last of it today. It's absolutely delicious. But I'll have some with Snow Bright. I think it's either Snow Bright or Snow King that I'll be tasting when I do my cooking demo.
Yeah.
So anyway, shrubs, yeah, I think shrubs are going to get big. And they're also, you know, Dennis Dunn, who is the brother of Franco Dunn, sausage, Franco's One World Sausage. Dennis has been making shrubs as well, and he sells them at the farmer's market. And he's also been looking around. Shrubs are selling for about $15 to $20 a pint, you know, commercial shrubs. And that's, like, I could be rich. That's a lot of them. They're very inexpensive to make at home. Anyway, that's the story on shrubs. So you'll find out. Good. You will love them. You will love them.
Okay, taste.
Okay, now, Colin, I can't see Rick. So I want to get Rick over here because I want to talk about Harmony Farm. Rick, you got to move over a little. You could even change places briefly. Or maybe Mike can move this. I don't know if that monitor is movable. Okay, there. Now I can see you. Okay.
Yeah, can you see me now?
I can see you. Excellent. So tell me about your, Harmony Farms. I think everyone knows Harmony Farms, but just in case someone doesn't, tell us about.
Everybody knows about Harmony Farm Supply. Harmony Farm Supply has been around since really 1980, early pioneers in supplying organic pest control, drip irrigation to the organic community, which was a fad at the time.
Yeah.
But they were in the right place at the right time,
mm-hmm.
in the right community. Everyone in Sonoma County, all the agronomists in Sonoma County are certainly good land stewards, have always mm-hmm. taken care of the land, and so they fit right in. The organics movement turned into an industry and helped foster the growth. I was founded by David Henry and Kate Burrows.
Yes, and they now they live half-time in Grayton and half-time, I think, just north of Hilo on Hawaii Moku.
Yes, they have a farm over there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they decided to grow food as opposed to teach other people how to.
Yeah, and I think they have sheep over there. I think either sheep or goats. I think they have one or the other in Hawaii.
I'm not sure what livestock they're raising.
Yeah, I know them just in my other life. I'm connected with hula and the Hawaiian community, and re-met David and Kate. David plays, I think he plays ukulele and guitar.
Yes.
I think Kate plays guitar, ukulele.
As a matter of fact, David just... he just cut a CD not too long ago.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. I'll have to get that and play it here on Mouthful. So, going down a little side alley, what can we do about gophers in West County? Is there anything?
Well, you have two choices. You can live with them,
mm-hmm.
or you can not live with them.
If you decide to live with them, is there a way to further the peaceful cohabitation with them?
There are several ways.
Can you like go like away from your own garden and plant some things they like and they'll leave you alone?
No, not necessarily. Okay, when they get hungry, they're going to find the food. Yeah. And as the drought continues, they're going to get worse and worse.
Okay.
And they're going to eat anything they can get their
teeth on. That's why there's such a frenzy of it now, because of the drought.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Is that also happening with fleas? Is there an increase in flea?
I think the climate change is causing an outbreak and rise in the population of a lot of different pests. I'm seeing grasshoppers out in Bodega, and I haven't seen them out there since the last drought.
Okay. Yeah, I remember the really bad drought of the 70s and then the one of the 80s, and it seems fleas got really bad at that point.
Yeah, they'll continue to get bad.
Yeah, I didn't have dogs back then, though. Now I have dogs.
Well, there are things you can do. Spreading diatomaceous earth always helps for that.
Right.
And there are a number of biologicals that you can spread on the ground that eat on the larvae.
Oh, really? What sort of things?
Bacillus thuringiensis. It's a bacterium. There's a couple other ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that like really nasty stuff.
It's a bacteria.
The stuff you have to put on the back of their neck once a month, you know?
Oh, no. Well, that, you can use that.
I mean, it quits working.
Pardon me?
It quits working.
Oh, yeah, well, everything does after a while.
Yeah, I hear lots of people complaining when I go into a pet store, and I'm now starting to complain because it quits working.
Yes. So, well, everything does wear out. It's entropy. It's one of the dynamic forces of the universe.
There you go. And they don't tell you that when you're buying the Advantage for your cat or your dog. They don't say, you know, eventually this isn't going to last. So anyway, that's just sort of my side interest. So when did you get involved with Farm Trails?
In Farm Trails? Well, right after I acquired Harmony.
When did you acquire it?
In 2007.
Oh, okay.
And they were members, so I, you know, quickly converted the membership over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been involved as far as a membership. And then a few years ago, Farm Trails had some difficulties. And last year, to help as best I could, I became a pretty significant sponsor. And then in addition, offered to be a board member.
Good for you. That was really scary for a while when I thought we were going to lose Farm Trails. That was so upsetting.
We can thank the Duttons for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They came and saved the day.
Well, good for them. Mm-hmm. Good for them. And Carmen, I know you've played a big role. You have worked really hard to make that happen.
Yes.
So, yeah, I remember I asked somebody from Board of Economic Opportunity or something, and he said, if Farm Trails last another 3 months, I'll be surprised.
They had a rough time. Really low. They made it was a pretty big mistake.
Yeah.
But fortunately, the community is strong, and there are a lot of people that came in. And of course, without Carmen, it's hard to say just how far along we would be right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, my understanding is Farm Trail has always been, Farm Trails is the first of its kind. You see other places, you can go up to Rhode Island and see that you can get a map. If you think a couple places in New England have map tours of the farms, but they're all modeled after Farm Trails.
Yeah.
So it's such an important groundbreaking organization. And with Sonoma County farms thriving so beautifully right now, it would just be a tragedy to have lost it. So thank you. And thank you, the Duttons. I have to have them on sometime to talk about this. Okay, let's go back to the fair. And we've talked about some of the things that go on, but there's always been a lot of kids' activities. There's been things to eat on the spot, other than, you know, the samples from the chef tent and the cheese, artisan cheese tent. So there's things you can buy, stand in line and buy.
Absolutely.
So what's going on with that? And then also, how do you select the crafts, arts and crafts that are going to be involved?
So we have about 100 different vendors who will have booths, either arts and crafts or food booths. And we have a jurying process. So we have a committee that meets and receives the applications and reviews them. And our criterion are really based on we favor local, for sure. And I'm very pleased to say that this year, all of our food vendors are from Sonoma County, except for one food vendor who's just right across the border.
Oh, that's great.
So it truly is. And,
that's
great. Amazing local food. And
are you going to have shave ice this year? I think you might have had shave ice a couple years ago.
You know, honestly, I don't remember. I think not. What we are having, which is new this year, we've always had caramel apples, but this year, Rocker Oysterfellers and Firefly Catering, Sean is going to come. She's really into caramel apples, and she's doing them with the goat milk and the...
She's doing dulce de leche caramel apples. That's so dangerous.
Yeah. So that will be extraordinary. And I know that Daniel from the backyard is doing fried chicken sandwiches with Gravenstein apple coleslaw. And, of course, we have just tons of amazing other vendors there that we love, the farmer's wife and her egg sandwiches and such.
Oh, I don't, that one I don't know about.
The farmer's wife?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is Nan May's counterpart.
Okay, yes. That's Kendra. Right, yes.
Yeah. So the food is amazing, and then the arts and crafts vendors, we have everything from, you know, the home and garden supplies to, so Harmony will be there with garden supplies. We'll have... people that do, you know, yard art and wind chimes. We have fiber people, a lot of farm vendors.
Because
the fiber is also really booming in Sonoma County right now with the wool mill. So there are lots of wool products and ceramics and jewelry and leather and wood. And the stipulation is that it be handmade.
I still, years ago, I got a work boot carved out of wood that is about as big as the first joint of my thumb.
Wow.
And it's threaded. You can see the little holes. The tongue is hanging out. I mean, it's the most authentic tiny. I just fell in love with it when I saw it. I love it. And then you have some information booths as well, right?
We do. We have some nonprofits who will be there with information booths, like, you know, the Permaculture Center.
Oh, great.
The new hospital actually is going to be there.
Really?
The West County Hospital that's opening up. Palm.
We don't. I don't. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
And then slow food.
Slow food will be there, and what they did last year, which was super popular, and they're going to bring it back this year. They're going to have an old-fashioned apple press,
right?
Sampling the Gravenstein juice for folks.
And I'm planning on spending some time there.
Good,
because I have six new books out, and so they are arranging to get my books and whatever time I have away from, you know, doing the cooking demo and that sort of thing, I'm going to try to have some apple goodies there. I might do, actually, I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. Maybe a shrub.
Good.
And so try to be there and sell books and that sort of thing.
Great. And I also want to make mention of the kids zone, because
it is
really robust. And I think just gets better every year. It's being sponsored this year by Amy's Kitchen. We're really glad to have them participating. And so there will be arts and crafts all day long for the kids. There will be music for the kids, the stilt walkers, the giant bubbles. The Waldorf Circus is performing both days at 1:30. That was totally thrilling last year. And it's just acres of activities where...
And you have farm equipment.
And the hay maze, the tractors that they can see. And then, of course, the farm animals. There's like a, I wouldn't call it a petting zoo per se, but it's a chance to interact with the miniature horses and the...
Oh, you have the miniature horses there?
Yes.
They're so cute.
And llamas and sheep. And the Rambassador from this year's poster is from Skyhorse Ranch, and he'll be there.
Oh, really?
Have you seen the image for this year?
Oh, no, you have to show. I haven't.
Let's see, I think I probably have it here. This is Famous Ramus.
Oh,
so new this year will be selfie stations. You can
Skyhorse Ranch, that's right, there in Valley Forge.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting, because my new publisher is Skyhorse Publishing.
Oh, okay.
But they're in New York, so there's no relationship, but just a resonance. Oh, what a great... So tell us his name again.
Famous Ramus.
Famous Ramus. What a good-looking guy. Those are some horns.
Was he one of the sheep in the Chinese New Year parade in San Francisco this year?
Yes, he was.
He was, wow.
I recognize him, yes.
And then I know one of the big draws has always been the live music.
Yes.
And I know that Sarah Baker has a new band, The Cake.
The Cake.
11:30 on Saturday.
Oh, good. She'll be there. Poor Man's Whiskey is coming back. We love them.
Yeah.
The Easy Leaves, Cahoots and the Rhythm Rangers. Country Music All-Stars, Allison Harris and the Barn Owls. Have you heard her?
No.
She's really good. She's new to me. Onye and the Messengers, Afro-Cuban. And then we always like to have Zydeco. We have the Blues Box Bayou Band. And we have a mariachi band, Mariachi Tarasco.
Oh, that's great. You have mariachi. I love that. And that's just such a nice fit.
Yeah.
To have the mariachi band. What about some of the practical elements? Parking.
So parking, there is premium on-site parking for $5. And there are also two satellite locations at Holy Ghost Hall on Mill Station Road.
And very close.
Yeah, very close. And O'Reilly Media on 116. So you can park at those lots for free. And we have a shuttle run, two shuttles running between those and the fair all day long.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it's
And if you bike to the fair, you get a $10 ticket.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. And you have... biking, yes,
it's not
biking.
It's not valet bike parking per se, but you can leave your bike in a bike zone. There are attendants there, and we do encourage people to bring bike lux.
Sure, definitely. Okay, where's that picture? I want to see, because I want to see what I've left out. Artisan cheese tent, children's corner, life on the farm, the do-it-yourself arena. Oh, one thing we haven't talked about. The apple.
The Gravenstein herself.
People, you can actually buy cases, right?
Yes, and we hope people do. So, Dutton Ranch will have apples, Kozlowski will have apples, and Walker will have apples. Uh-huh. And all three of those vendors are located close to loading zones and gates. Mm-hmm. So if you want to buy a box or a bag, you can pick it up as you're leaving. Uh-huh. And we hope that people will be inspired by the chef's tent and by the various dishes that they sample throughout the weekend to try their hand with the Gravenstein.
Absolutely.
Don't forget the fresh apple pies that will be baked there, too.
You're anticipating what I was going to say next. So talk about the pie. Is there still a pie eating thing?
There's still a pie baking contest that the Sebastopol Chamber runs and a pie eating contest for kids and adults. On both days.
And I know in years past, Steve Garner and John Ash have done their show on Saturdays. Will that be happening?
That will be happening. And Clark Wolf will also be there. He has two really dynamic panels, farmer panels, that he's doing, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. The one on Saturday is specifically about heirlooms and heritage. So the experts will be talking about the Gravenstein apple and the Bodega Red potato and what Slow Food has done and the Arc of Taste to really keep those alive. And then on Sunday, there will be experts, Rick included, he's one of them, talking about soil vitality.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the cost, again, let's go through the cost again.
Okay, so visit GravensteinAppleFair.com to find out all of these details and more, and you can get tickets in advance discounted at Oliver's, Copperfields, and Harmony, and then on-site, the tickets are $15 for adults, $12 for seniors and veterans, and $10 for kids.
Okay.
Kids 5 and under are free.
Great. We've got a little bit of time left, so what I want to do now is go back to, first of all, our two cheese vendors, so that we can, I know with Ashendina, I talked about where we could get those cheeses, but I didn't ask why Rock. So, Carlene, let's talk a little bit about how people find your cheeses.
So, here in Sonoma County, I think the best, your best option would be any of the Oliver's Markets, Petaluma Market, and Omar's Freestone Artisan Cheese.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Are you still doing any farmers markets?
We do farmers markets in San Francisco and Berkeley now. Okay, we needed to kind of branch out a little bit and kind of work, you know, develop some wholesale markets in those areas.
Absolutely.
To survive. So we'll be coming back, hopefully, if we don't move out of the area. So
what? hey, right. You can't just like drop that. So talk a little bit.
Actually, I don't. I have nothing. No solid plans. It's just that we've been looking, as everyone knows, you know, in our community, that we've been looking for a place to relocate and expand the business. You know, we've been warmly received and hosted on a piece of property that we've outgrown. You know, and yeah, so we're not sure. We've actually been kind of thinking maybe we need to move up to Humboldt area. The cheese would be sent down in a refrigerated van, no doubt, by somebody.
Yes, but then we wouldn't see your pretty face.
Oh, thank you so much. But yeah, so I'm not sure where we're going to land. But
okay.
Yeah, but thank you for asking.
Sure, and do you see that happening 5 years from now or year from now?
No, it has to happen in this next year. You know, everything, you know, when you work with animals, everything's about the seasonality of their life, right? So
sure.
I'm still milking right now. I just dropped down to once a day milking, so I have another few weeks of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to really start aggressively strategizing.
Sure.
Because we breed again in October. And
right,
then
so
Right, and lambs come in the spring, and so you can't really move a flock of pregnant mommies with a bunch of newborn babies, you know.
Yeah.
So if it's going to happen, it's got to happen, like, in the next 6 months or so.
Oh. Okay.
I'm, you know, roughly speaking.
Sure. We miss you. We wish you the best. We would miss you terribly if you left the area.
Yeah. We might just be moving back to my mom's and then, like, putting our sheep somewhere temporarily, but I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
You know, everything's loose
sure.
right now.
Okay. Well,
Thank you.
I think you've just done a remarkable job with the resources you've had.
Thank you.
I mean, your cheeses are fabulous. It's so great. And maybe wherever you land, you'll start doing commercial yogurt.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Because your yogurt is so good.
Yeah, we'll work on upgrading our dairy.
Yes, your yogurt is so good. And have you tried the sheep's milk butter that's being made in Valley Ford?
Yeah, Haverton Hill.
Haverton Hill.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about them, and I hope everybody gets a chance to check them out, because for the sheep industry at large in North mm-hmm. America, they're really doing something huge, which I don't know if people in this area realize, that I don't know of anybody else.
They're the only
one in
North America.
Yeah, producing a bottled sheep milk and sheep milk butter. You know, sheep, you know, the fat content in sheep milk is much higher,
mm-hmm.
but it's naturally homogenized. So to separate out that fat is a big, it's a harder process.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's much smaller yield. And then you have this lower fat, you know, we just don't have the infrastructure, the industry
right.
to kind of deal with those various products. So what they're doing is a really big deal,
yeah.
I think.
And it's
I'm really excited
delicious.
For them.
It's really,
yeah.
They've been on Mouthful once, and I actually just stumbled over them at
yeah.
Oliver's.
Yeah.
Thought, what? Really? Sheep's milk butter? I took it home. Oh, it's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah, so we're really proud of them. I mean, the sheep industry is really small, and you know, the first dairy sheep were brought to North America in 1994. So this is why you don't see many of our products here yet.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is really important, and I hope everybody can check it out.
Cool.
And yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, now, Ashendina. Let's talk a little bit more. I've only tried one, so
Sorry, we're being stingy over here.
No, it's just there's a lot of people here.
So here, let's pass over this one. Let's have you try the fresh curd.
So where are the fresh curds available?
Fresh curds are available at the farmer's market. That's
okay.
The issue with fresh curds is really we don't use any kind of preservatives with them. And so you really need to be able to use them within a week, 2 week period. And so
people actually get them home from the farmer's market? I've never
yeah.
really succeeded at that. But so, yeah, they're just one of the great snacks of the world.
You know, and quick and easy, and we're feeding our animals. We don't feed them corn. We utilize the pasture, that whatever pasture we have this year. Really what we're trying to do is feed them a little bit more of an alkaline diet rather mm-hmm. than an acidic diet. And so the brewer's grain, the way that we feed back, you know, the grass, you know, all of those things really contribute to their digestive health.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's kind of what we're really trying to encourage. I have a lot of people that are lactose intolerant that are able to digest our cheeses.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we're kind of hitting on that market. That's kind of something, and it's becoming more and more of an issue as we go. And that's where you were talking about the apple cider vinegar is amazing. It's very alkaline. It's very good on your digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
Within reason, you know, yeah. just a little bit, like you said, you know, a little bit in your water really does assist your daily schedule.
Right.
So
yeah, it's really great.
You know, you're dealing with all of those things. So yeah, the fresh curds, farmers markets, and you know, we do give tours of the ranch. Our tours are by appointment only, and
okay,
so
you have a good website.
Yep, and you come and spend I say an hour and a half, but today my tour was there for 3 hours. So the more people, the more questions you have, the more I want to answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of, you know, we're bringing you into our world and really letting you know how we got to where we're at and what we do.
Yeah, one question about the curds. Are these the curds that if you put them in a bowl with water of a certain temperature, you can make your own mozzarella?
180 degree, and yep, you can work them together. Now, the only disadvantage is that we're using Jersey milk, and the Jersey milk in combination with a bacteria that I'm using, they're so much better if you just heat them up like this, or chop them up and introduce them into your recipe, how you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Because if you take it through that process of 180 degree water, it almost gives them too much of a bittery note because of the brewer's grain. And so the brewer's grain, the Jersey milk, and the bacteria that I'm using. Mm-hmm. So yes, ultimately,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And then we're almost out of time, and I should tell you, we're not going to do a book giveaway tonight as we've been doing for the last few weeks because there's so many people here. But we will return to the book giveaway in the middle of August. We will be airing an archive next Sunday because Mike and I both will be at the Gravenstein Apple Fair. And now before we end, Woodfour. When we talked about Woodfour, but mm-hmm, we didn't tell people where it is.
Oh, Sebastopol, yeah.
It's in the Barlow.
Yeah, right down in the Barlow. For those of you that don't know where the Barlow is, as you're coming into town from Santa Rosa on 12, it's just as you enter town on the north side there.
Yeah, and it's on Woodfour is on McKinley, sort of kitty corner from
You're
TaylorMade.
Yeah, if you're sending us an invoice, the address isn't McKinley, but okay, if you're looking to come have a drink,
if you're looking to park,
McKinley is the one you want to look for. So
okay, yep. And on that note, we are out of time. So I want to thank everybody, Carlene Wyrock of Wyrock Farm and Creamery, Carmen Snyder, the fabulous executive director of Farm Trails, Donna Pacheco of Ashindina Cheese Company. Seth Wood of Woodfour, Colin Piccolo of Specific Gravity, Rick Williams of the fabulous Harmony Farms, and sitting behind us and smiling, it has been Kelly and Elizabeth, who have been very quiet. So, have a great week. Don't miss this sweetest little fair of Sonoma County and beyond next weekend, and meet me back here next Sunday for another yummy episode of Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming.